Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. Nobody in here in a hurry to get there, but it's going to be great when we do get there, right? Praise the Lord. Kristen, how long have you and Matt been in Botswana now? 29 years. Did you move there when you were 1 year old? I mean, you guys are light of the world ministries there in Francistown, around Francistown, Botswana. And praise the Lord, they got a Bible school and ministry going there. It's awesome to have them with us. And ladies, welcome. And we're so glad all of you are here. Amen? They might win the prize for the longest travel to get to church tonight, okay? But we're so glad all of you are here. And, you know, these young folks, I didn't talk to them about what I was going to preach on tonight, and they just picked the songs and just be led by the Lord. But I want to talk to you about valued by the blood, valued by the blood of Jesus. And so, praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting, and I think I've said this before in coming over here. And for those who don't know, my name's Tad Gregorich. I'm one of Pastor Hagin's associate pastors at Rhema Bible Church. Also, this is my 10th year as the dean of Rhema Bible Training College. And so that's something I can't believe it's been 10 years. This is the 10th year, but excited to be with that, doing that. And we have a great group of students this year, and things are going great all over the world. Have you ever watched Pawn Stars or any show like that where somebody brings something in and they want to sell it? And they say, well, how much do you want for this? And they'll say, you know, depending on what it is. You know, I've seen all kinds of things people bring in. I've seen, you know, guitars made by famous rock stars, you know, that have made these guitars. And one of them came in one time and said, I want $10,000 for this. Well, you know that the owners of the store are not going to give them whatever they've asked for. It just doesn't happen, right? See, they're thinking, okay, if this is worth $10,000, that's what I can sell it for, so I've got to give you less so I make my money. But my point is, the value of anything is determined by what the buyer is willing to spend. In other words, the value of anything, if I'm going to purchase something, then I'm going to determine how valuable that is to me by what I am willing to give up in order to obtain that. All right? So let's look here at Ephesians chapter 1. And our subject is valued by the blood. Valued by the blood. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read starting in verse 3 so we can read down there. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Now, I have the King James Bible in front of me, but I take these and thous and that type of stuff out. So, but don't change, try not to change what it's saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Everybody say has. Past tense, right? Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now look at verse 7. In whom? Who is that? Well, that's in Christ. He's been talking about being in Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, God, you know, is limitless. His riches are limitless. Here he calls it the riches of his grace. And so God was unlimited in what he could have used to redeem us. To redeem means to buy back. There's a purchase involved with redemption. Okay, so I kind of brought up the pawn shop. You know, somebody takes something in there, somebody goes and buys it, they've actually redeemed it out of holdership. We, mankind, in the Garden of Eden, unfortunately, became beholden to the devil, if you will. We were in the devil's pawn shop. God's people, through sin, handed themselves over, all right, to a wicked taskmaster, if you will. But God's plan was to purchase mankind back, you and I. Everyone that's ever lived, God had a plan. And he says here, we've been redeemed. What? How? Notice what it says. We've been purchased. We've been bought through his blood. His blood. All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. We're going to go somewhere with this tonight so we can see not only did this blood purchase us, it also established the value of every person who's ever breathed the breath on this earth. Okay, Acts chapter 20. I think so many people don't understand their value. And they're trying to obtain value through many different things. You know, some folks, because they don't know the value that God has placed upon them, even good Christian folks, you know, they get involved in all kinds of things trying to prove their value. Or try and please, you know, if I do this, will you value me? Now, I want to say this. No person on this earth can set my value. And so, therefore, no person on this earth can set your value. Listen, husbands and wives, your spouse cannot set your value. They could never value you the way God does. Now, they can partake of his love and love you that way and touch it. But our value is whatever God says we are. Our identity is whoever God says we are. And when I look in the Word of God, I have to allow that to establish that. If I look at anything else, I'm always going to come up short. All right? I have to go to God's Word. Now, it's obvious that people in the world, they don't know how valuable they are to God, or they'd come to God. And unfortunately, you know, I think the church has done its part to push away a lot of folks by not treating people with value. Hello, that's another sermon, okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul talking to these elders, these pastors of the church at Ephesus, which a lot of Bible scholars say there was probably over 200,000 Christians in Ephesus at the time after 3 years of ministry. And they didn't have a big auditorium to meet in. Could you imagine going to church with 200,000 people at the same time? That'd be a big old soccer stadium, wouldn't it? I don't even know if you can fit that many in there. But they met from house to house, and so they got quite a few. And he says this to them, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Purchased with his own blood. Now, we saw there in Ephesians 1, we're redeemed through his blood, which means to buy. Here, it's just stated, he has purchased us with his own blood. The blood of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. The greatest life that's ever lived on this earth, Jesus himself. The most valuable, see, it wasn't silver and gold could not redeem you. There was no way you could not pay enough money to redeem you out of darkness. Only the blood of Jesus. See, silver, I don't care how much of it you got. I don't care how much of it you got stashed at your house. Okay? Now the new thing is, you know, they want you to keep your gold and your silver at your house, you know, and don't, because you can keep it. I mean, all kinds of stuff always going on. You can't have enough. I don't care how much gold. You could go to Fort Knox there. And any of you ever been to Fort Knox? I've been down there. Go to Fort Knox there in just south of Louisville, Kentucky. You can go down there and you can get all the gold they have in there, and it wouldn't be enough to buy one of us. Amen. And redeem one of us. It's not valuable enough. But the blood of Jesus, glory to God, was shed. The most valuable thing that's ever existed on this earth, Jesus willingly poured it out for you and I and purchased us. So that begs me to ask the question, how valuable are you? If the most valuable thing that's been on this earth was used to purchase you, how valuable are you? Amen. I was just, last weekend. It seems like it's been a long time ago. But it's just last weekend, I was down in Northwest Houston. Of course, you know, a lot of the area, and we drove, the pastor there drove me, his house, he got flooded, and so I was looking at some things with him, and he'd be back in his house this week already. He was really blessed. People around him, all his next door neighbors, they can't figure out, how is your house? How are you going to be back in it this soon? He told him, said, well, you know, we just prayed to God to help us, whatever he could do for us. Well, that made people mad. But anyway, but we drove by, I mean, we drove by millions and millions, I mean, big homes. These homes are not one, these are $1 million above homes. And all their stuff laying out on the, ready for FEMA to come pick it up, all their furniture, every first floor. If they had, everything's out there. There's millions and millions of dollars worth of furniture out there ruined. You think, well, how value? You know, some people want, I want to place my value. Well, my net value is, don't worry about what your net value here is on earth. Be concerned about what your value is in heaven. Amen. Amen. That's why Jesus said, don't set your treasure on earth. Set your treasure in heaven, because in heaven, your value is bought by the blood of Jesus. And since the same blood was used to purchase all of us have the same value with God. Now, we've read scriptures like, you know, in Galatians chapter 3, where it says, for in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's not male or female, there's not bond nor free, in other words, slave or free, there's not any, in Christ we're all one. Amen. We've read that, but have we really realized that the same blood purchased us all? Doesn't matter what your social status is here, doesn't matter what you are on this earth, in God's economy. Amen? That's why I'm convinced the only thing that will ever make men equal is the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's the only thing that can bring it about. Because we're all equal in Christ. I know Amber and Anthony have been there with me over in Kenya. One of the things, a long time ago, I found out that this bishop that I work with, he and I have the same blood type. And so we would, everywhere he'd go, you know, he'd be introduced to me and say, we have the same blood type. Well, that meant a lot to the people, you know, that. He said, because, you know, you look at me and look at, but on the inside, it's the same blood. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The same blood. Well, it's the same blood of Christ. Amen. Well, we used to talk about it, that we've got royal blood flowing through our veins. We used to talk about that a lot. I don't hear that so much anymore. I know the denomination I grew up in, and I won't tell you which one it was, but they decided a few years ago they were going to take all the songs about the blood out of their hymnal. We're not going to sing those songs about the blood because it scares the little children. It scares the devil, talking about the blood of Jesus, but it don't scare. And these kids today, I mean, they're blowing up things on. They don't care about blood. Amen. That blood. Look at Romans chapter 3 with me. You are so valuable to God that he had to send Jesus. There was nothing else he could do. There was no other sacrifice. Couldn't send an angel. Couldn't sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and animals. Could only cover sin. That could never redeem us. It couldn't purchase us. It was like paying a yearly installment. Every time the high priest would sacrifice that animal and lay his hands on and confess, it was like paying a yearly installment until that day that Jesus came and paid it all. In full. Hallelujah. Here in Romans chapter 3, look at verse 21. We'll start there. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. How many believers we got in here? Well, the righteousness of God is yours. Glory to God. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, see, that's one thing we didn't realize, too. Sin is the equalizer in the negative, and the blood is the equalizer in the positive. Everyone has sinned. There's no classification of sin. Well, that's sin's, you know, the wages of all sin is death. Sometimes we think, well, you know, that sin, that's the worst kind of sin. No, all sin is wrong. Okay, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And don't leave us in sin. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now just stop there for a moment. How were we redeemed? Through his what? Blood, verse 25. Whom God set forth to be propitiation, is the payment price through faith in his blood. to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now see, here's the thing we have to understand. Why through faith? I wasn't there. I didn't see his blood shed. But I have faith that it was. The word of God tells me. So I have faith in that blood. I have faith that that blood has made me acceptable with Christ, with God. I have faith that that blood just didn't cover my sin. It wiped my sin out. It made me a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. I've got faith in that blood. But not just that it's done that. That blood still speaks, Hebrews says. It's still speaking on my behalf. Speaking redemption. Speaking value. Look at chapter 5 of Romans. Praise the Lord. You get talking about the blood of Jesus, and I'm telling you what, the presence and the glory of God just starts. I don't know about you, but that gets me going. During the Azusa Street revival, there's a prophecy that's recorded where one of the statements made was, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. I like that. For those of you who don't know, that was 1906. They had a great revival start there out in Azusa Street there in Los Angeles it had been all kinds of different things, but it became a revival center. And they just got together, and the Spirit of God fell upon people, glory to God, and they preached and prayed. And just 24 hours, there was something going on out there. For years it happened. Hallelujah. Verse 8 of Romans 5. But God commends or demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Now let's stop there for a moment. We saw we were what? Redeemed through that blood. We were purchased by that blood. Now he says we were justified. Justified means declared right. Or declared righteous. We've been justified, how? By his blood. But notice it didn't stop there. It says we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen? Now, you know, I think this is the fifth major end of the world I've lived through. Yesterday, you know. I remember 88 reasons in 88. Then the guy written said, well, I missed it 89 and 89. So that one didn't happen. But we all made it through Y2K, right? Made that one, you know. And then here just recently somebody else came up with some reasons. You know, blood moon, live through the blood moon. All right, live through that one. Okay, praise the Lord. Now this, whatever this was, you know, here we are. And, I have a good friend, David Beebe, who used to be the head of the Army Eye Department there at Rhema, and he's pastoring again now. He used to tell the students, would everyone quit predicting when Jesus is coming back? Because the Bible says no man knows the day and hour. So if you predict a day, he can't come back that day. Because God would have to say, see, you were right. And he's not going to do that. So I'm not going to predict. You know, some say, well, are you pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation? Or do you believe in the rapture at all? Well, I think the trumpet's going to sound. And so this is what I believe. When that trumpet toots, I'm going to scoot. So if you're ready for that, just be ready. When that trumpet goes off, just be ready. All right? Every once in a while at home, now don't do it out in public. Don't go to Walmart and do rapture practice or anything. But every once at home, just jump. Okay, Lord, all right? Revelation chapter 12. Now, saved from the wrath to come. Saved from that wrath. Glory to God. Well, that means that blood's still active. And so, for anybody, see, that's why it's wrong for him to say, well, you know, these hurricanes and all these stuff, that's God pouring out his wrath. Well, those who are Christians are saved from the wrath of God. They're saved from that wrath to come. So that can't be God's wrath, because Christians have been affected by this stuff. Can't be God's wrath. I remember when Hurricane Katrina came through back in the early 2000s, up through Louisiana and up through that area, you know. And, people, at that time, somebody said, well, this is God's judgment on America, on our government, by how we've been treating Israel. And I thought, I don't even know if some of those Cajuns down there know there's an Israel in that part of the world. And God knows where our government is. I mean, it could have come up right up, you know, the Potomac and, you know, come right into Washington, D.C. if it was really, if that was really God. Come on now. Amen. Now here in Revelation 12:11, here's a familiar verse. And they overcame him. This is talking, these are people in heaven now. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Now here he's talking about the, what about, you know, the devil? His wrath. Sometimes we always think it's the wrath of God. You're never going to ever experience the wrath of God, ever, ever, because of the blood. Now the devil, the next, look at that. I didn't put it on my list here, but that very next verse says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he know that his time is short. But thank God the blood, thank God the blood, thank God the blood, thank God the blood, thank God the blood is protecting me from all that wrath. I don't care what the devil tries, I've got the blood. That's why the old time Pentecostal, they'd say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. Some say, well, that's not found in the Bible. Well, you know, if you understand what they're saying. I thank God for the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I'm free. But they overcame him. Hallelujah. By how? By that blood. Glory to God. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. I could read scriptures on the blood all day long. Just get happy about it. That blood. Thank God. It still speaks. It's still working on our behalf. Now here, you remember in the Old Testament, after man sinned, and after God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's a type of bringing God's people, bringing people out of the world, bringing us out of the world. He set up, until the Lamb of God would come, a sacrificial system to keep people in as much right standing with him as possible. It didn't do away with sin. It just covered sin. It was the blood of bulls and goats and animals. And they had to be spotless. They're supposed to be bring your first and bring your best to God. And it would, and the high priest would go once a year into that where the Ark of the Covenant was, the Holy of Holies, and would sprinkle that blood of that animal on the doorposts, and also on the cherubim wings there that oversaw that Ark, would sprinkle that, and that would make atonement, not forgiveness, not redemption, but atonement for the sins of the people for a year. All right. Now, you could, during the year, if you had gotten this in it, you could bring a sacrifice yourself if you wanted to. But that was made for the year. And he confessed the sins of the people and the nation. That was more of a national atonement that would take place when the high priest. So he's been talking about that in this chapter, how that was just a type of what Jesus actually did. All right. Look at verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, and by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. In other words, this tabernacle that Jesus, it's not a man-made building. It's not the temple. It's not the Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. This is not man-made at all. This is a tabernacle made by God. It said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus didn't go into that. Jesus didn't go into the Holy of Holies on earth in his blood. He went into the heavenly Holy of Holies. And notice it says eternal redemption. Through what? Remember? His blood. We read in Ephesians. Eternal redemption. That's why we're still saved from the wrath that is to come. Because that blood bought us eternally. Eternally. Now let's keep reading here. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, glory to God, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, over in chapter 10, verse 2, it says, he said, because our consciences have been purged by the blood of Jesus, we should have no more consciousness of sin. We should not be living in a sin consciousness. In other words, in our thinking about yourself. Well, I'm just, you see, that's, a Christian should never say, well, I'm just an old sinner. You were a sinner. See, quit talking about who you were. Talk about who you are. I'm a new creature. Glory to God. All right. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by. Well, quit talking about sin. Talk about being saved by grace. See, have a righteousness, have a purchased, if you will, have a valuable because of the blood consciousness. Think of yourself because of the blood. Who am I? Because of Jesus, who am I? Not based on what I did yesterday. Not based on maybe a wrong thing I did. If I do something wrong, I go to God immediately. He cleanses me. Glory to God. But who am I because of the blood? And we can, because, and when we purge our conscience that, see, when that blood washes that out, then we can serve God. Verse 15, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament, now he's talking about a will and a testament, all right, probably all of us are familiar with those. There must also the necessity be the death of the testator. In other words, if I make out a last will and testament, it doesn't go into force until what? I die. So that's what he just said there. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, is of no strength while the testator or the person who made out the will and testament lives. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. See, that's why Jesus had to shed his blood. Blood was required in God's economy. Remember, this is according to God's economy. God's placing the value here, not me. See, I'm not placing value on you. God's already placed value on you. See, don't look to me to make you valuable. Look to God. Well, people just don't appreciate me. It's not about you. Go back to, in your thinking, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's not, there's three parts, not just two. People, that's, they usually stop there. And they love not their lives unto the death. What does that mean? I wrote it in my Bible. It's not about me. If I make it about me, then I have to have you to value me. But if I make it about him and what he's done, then my value's in him. How valuable do you think Jesus is in heaven? You think he's valued? Oh, yeah. Read Revelation. We didn't read some of, you know, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to obtain all these things. But we're in him. Don't get me started there. We're not the Christ. We're not the Lamb of God, but we are in him. Okay? Now, glory to God. We've been by that remission. Okay, look at the chapter number 13 of Hebrews. Like I said, there's so much that we could read here, so many different things. Praise the Lord. But here in chapter 13, start in verse number 9. Be not carried away with divers or different and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that your heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein. We have an altar wherein they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts which blood is brought in the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. He's talking about those bodies of the animals that were offered for sin. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. How many realize he was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem? Okay. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one which is to come. What's he saying? Everything that you can see right now is going to pass away, but there's coming a city that's going to be eternal. And we can dwell in that. All right. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. for which sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, listen to this. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, the blood of bulls and goats and oats just made a temporary covenant. This covenant is everlasting. Through all eternity, what is going to pay? See, you realize this? Your eternity has been already paid for. That's how valuable that blood was. Amen. And is. Through all. It's everlasting covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How long is that blood gonna cleanse us? Everlasting. How long is that blood gonna save me from wrath? Everlasting. How long is there healing in that blood? Everlasting. How long is there deliverance in that blood? Everlasting. How long is there justification in that blood? It's everlasting. Hallelujah. He says, now that he said that through the blood of the everlasting covenant, notice this, make you perfect or mature or complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I know I'm purchased by the blood, I'm free to do what God's called me to do. I'm free to be whoever he needs me to be, whenever he needs me to be it. I don't have to worry about anything else. All I know is I'm accepted by him. Amen. And I may not be perfect, but that's all right. He'll make up the difference. And I don't have to worry about my value, who I am, you know. Well, I just want people to value me. You don't need people to value you. Come on. Again, quit making it about you. Make it about the blood of Jesus. Make it about who you are in Christ, that you're accepted in the beloved, that you're redeemed by that blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Look over. I didn't put this on the list, but Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. We'll end with this verse, all right? Maybe. Not only, don't forget, you know, we said redemption and forgive, but don't forget, not only are we redeemed, that's why I wanted to read this verse also, but we're forgiven. Hallelujah. He says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Say it with me, I'm forgiven. Amen. You know, that's why, because he's forgiven, you need to forgive yourself. So many times people are held back. They're under bondage because they've done, and they will not forgive themselves when the blood of Jesus has already purchased your forgiveness. Amen. Now, in saying that, we're not saying you can just live anyway. We're not talking about that. Christians don't want to just live in sin. Christians want to live for God. Okay? So I know so-and-so, they say they're a Christian, but they don't care. Well, you know, that's between them and God, but I've never met somebody that really was a Christian that wanted to live in sin. And I'm going to tell you this, Jesus didn't shed his blood to redeem me and save me from the wrath of the devil so I could live like the devil. Yeah. I know that's true. I'm more valuable than that. Yes. I'm more valuable to waste my life on this earth. I'm more valuable than to let drugs and alcohol and sin and immorality and all that to dominate my life when he's all redeemed me from it. I'm more valuable than that. Amen. You're more valuable than that. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Why don't you say that? You talk to God. Just thank him for his blood. Thank you, Father, for your blood. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we're redeemed. Hallelujah. We're justified. Our sins are forgiven because of that blood. Oh, we give you glory and honor. We give you praise and thanksgiving. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Go ahead if you guys want to sing something, Anthony. Go ahead and sing it. Glory to God.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Sing that again. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
We sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
In order for that blood to have effect in your life, you have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to let that blood work on your behalf. Have faith in that blood. Amen. I don't know everybody here tonight, but if you need prayer tonight, you want to accept Jesus for the first time in your life, you want to get things right with God, I want you to come up for Glenn and Heather. Going to be up early. Glenn, right over here. You can come up after the service when we dismiss, and they'd be happy to pray with you. Pray with you according to the Word of God. Glory to God. Minister to you in whatever way you might need ministry to. Hallelujah. We have faith in the blood. The blood's enough. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if, when we dismiss, you come on up here and they'll pray with you. Amen. First time guests. If you want to go ahead and if you'll take them to that, get the special gift on behalf of the Hagen, Pastor Mrs. Hagen, and take that with them. We're so glad you're here. Make sure you all meet our friends from Botswana before they get out of the building tonight. Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reminded how Paul, when he said, "Now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore." Amen. Amen. God bless you. Great to see you. Amen. I think Brother Craig was supposed to be here next week, and so be ready for a great sermon next week also. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.